Fight. Welcome to the Philosophy of Fighting Podcast with your hosts, Arturo and Anoop.
All right, so we just had a huge UFC card last night, UFC 298. You saw it?
Yeah, and I was excited for it. I felt like it was stacked.
Yeah, I feel like this card and 299 are so good. Well, the 299 I think is my favorite, but this one is pretty sick too.
And 300's really good, even though it's not up to the hype of what Dana said 300 is going to be, or like yes. Oversold it, but it's still... Yeah. A really good card as well.
He's still saying that he's got like a major fight announcement or two apparently about it.
He said that after yesterday's card?
I don't know if it was after yesterday's card, but he did say that recently, like, oh, we don't even have the main and co-main like set yet.
No, he said yesterday at the post fight that, yeah, that the main event is going to be Jamal Hill and Alex Pereira.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I forgot about that.
And then
that.
It's like Wei Li Zhang and Yan, something. Yeah, I mean, they're both Chinese fighters.
Pretty then, bad co-main. Okay.
And then it's Gaethje and Max Holloway. And then it's
okay,
like
fight no one asked for. Okay.
Yeah. Who else? Hold on. I'll
it's not that good. Like 300, I'm like, I can miss.
It's also Charles Oliveira, Armin Sarukian. It's a good fight.
So that's the best fight on the card. That and Pereira versus Hill are the two fights.
Gaethje Holloway.
Gaethje Holloway's good. I'm
nervous about Holloway. I'm like really nervous about Holloway, but whatever. It is a good fight.
What sucks about Holloway is Topuria winning this fight too, but we'll get into that.
Jiri versus Rakic.
Oh, yeah, that's a good fight.
Yeah. Calvin Kattar, Sterling.
Good fight.
That's a good fight. Bo Nickel. Bo Nickel's fighting some guy, Cody Brundage.
So 300's good. Yeah, 300's good. I would argue this card was probably still better.
Davison Figueiredo, Cody Garbrandt.
Great fight.
Pretty fun. Holly Holm, Kayla Harrison.
Oh, yeah, that's a big one, too.
Sadiq Youssef, Diego Lopez. I love that guy.
Okay,
Lopez.
Yeah. So, he's so fun. It's a deep card, I would say.
Jessica Andrange, Marina Rodriguez, and then Bobby Green versus Jim Miller to start the card.
Oh, that's a great fight. Yeah.
So it is. It's just the way he sold it. Like, it's going to be the greatest thing ever. Where this is just, it's just fully, it's so deep and good.
Yes,
but
it's the deepest card.
It doesn't have the great last bite or something special that you're thinking. Like, Pereira Hill is good, but it's not like what you would think of as like
yeah,
a
we were
WrestleMania.
Thinking like it was
going to
be Aspinall versus Pereira or something.
Yeah, something a little special.
Yeah.
This is really good, though. It's really
absolutely
good, though.
Yeah. Okay.
But let's start with 298 that happened yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
I started watching it with Henry Cejudo versus Merab Dvalishvili. Yeah. And it went like how I thought it was going to go, but I got really excited in the first round. When
all right, so I'll just say this. Okay, so the fight before that was Anthony Hernandez, and he pulled off an awesome upset. It was a great fight. Probably my second favorite fight on the card.
Okay, I'll have to revisit it.
It was great upset. It was awesome. Striker, like grappler type of like affair. It was a great fight. After that fight, I only was disappointed in every other fight. I was rooting for the other guy for every fight, basically that one.
Really?
So yeah. Like I'm gonna root for Cejudo until he doesn't fight anymore, which it seems like he's not now. Yeah.
How do you feel like Cejudo did? Do you feel like he was good?
I think he's just a little bit past his time in that his cardio didn't seem there. Like, yes, I know he was great at bantamweight, but like in his youth, like he was a flyweight. Like that's his legacy, I want to say. So like, you know, when you're fighting up a weight class against the boogeyman of the division, you're getting older. It was tough. Like you saw the speed, you saw the cardio difference. You're like, all right, it just sucks. It sucks to see.
And there were times, well, so the first round, Cejudo did great.
First round, yeah, I was like, oh, shit, Cejudo can do this still.
And then the second round, you just saw the cardio take over, and Merab was relentless. And Merab kind of embarrassed him when he picked him up and he took him across the ring like so he could talk to Mark Zuckerberg. Like, it felt like what Khamzat did when he first got famous. Like, Merab was like, I'm going to make a name off of you. And it was like, this sport is brutal, like, for the older dude.
So Cejudo got like a good takedown or two. Definitely had great control against Merab, against the cage, in the middle of the cage. Like, it was great. But then once Merab took Cejudo down, I was like, oh, and my kids were watching me like, what? And I'm like, no one takes this guy down, and taking him down is a big deal. And they were like, oh, yeah, yeah, man, this is, we knew it was going to come, but like, it just sucks to see.
Yeah, not the takedown, okay, but then there was a slam, like, you know, and controlling
him. Yeah, that
him.
Later. Like, oh, several takedowns. Mm-hmm.
And I kind of felt bad too. Well, good for Merab, because he's going to fight either O'Malley or Cheeto, and people are saying he should be the favorite in whoever wins that fight.
I think so, yeah.
But somebody mentioned how, like, Cejudo took his gloves off in the ring. This was in the post-fight conference.
Yes.
And they asked Dana, they were like, oh, do you think, like, Cejudo should have had some time to talk? And Dana said something like, no, this was Merab's night, and Cejudo already retired once. And Dana kind of seemed, like, pissed at... So he's like, no, he shouldn't take that shine away from Merab on Merab's night. And, like, part of me was like, I get what he's saying, and it's nice. But then part of me was like, can't they both get some shine where...
100%. Like, they're both in the fight. Why don't they both get shine? I don't understand why it's Merab's night.
I think this is Dana. This is why, like...
Dana's an asshole.
Yeah, he's an asshole. And he was needed maybe to be an asshole to bring the sport up. But I feel like...
He's just bitter about Cejudo leaving when he did.
Yeah, and he needed some money. And Cejudo really tried to pull off a move like Ngannou pulled off, but he's a lighter weight fighter. He's not as popular. But he tried like something, you know, it was in the same vein. And he got fucked by it.
They're talking legacy, though. There's very few fighters with a bigger resume than Henry Cejudo. Like, how do you not give that guy time to shine for a retirement?
Not to mention American gold medalist. Plus, he's like Chicano, like half Mexican. You're trying to build up the sport internationally. Like, he's one of the most well-known coaches where, like, other fighters are coming to him for guidance. Like,
yeah, insane. That's so one of the petty. Best minds in MMA, easily.
Yeah, and he's like funny online. You want those people to love you, right? Like, you don't see the crazy NFL shitting on like Tom Brady or like somebody when they leave. Like,
yeah,
you should be uplifting like the heroes of your sport. Like, that's how you build a culture. I think that was a little shitty on Dana.
Absolutely.
But let's move on to like Merab. How do you feel like he does against like Sean O'Malley or Cheeto?
I think he beats both.
Really?
I think he's a favorite for a reason. Merab is the champion.
I think Cheeto has a better chance than Sean, though. I think it might be a little bit like rock, paper, scissor.
Okay. I think Merab beats them both.
I think he probably beats them both, and I think he should be the favorite. But I think Cheeto devours them.
Devours. I think he's going to be such a strong favorite.
Cheeto's such a like sniper, though, and strong.
Power for a division that usually doesn't have it. So does O'Malley, though.
Great ground game.
Yeah.
I just feel like Cheeto's ground game is better than O'Malley's ground game.
100%, but I don't think it'll even matter, the difference.
Because Merab did get hit a few times. And if Cejudo's a good striker, obviously.
To me, it's like the difference between a white belt, a purple belt, and a black belt. Sure, the purple belt is leagues better than the white belt. But to the black belt,
Yeah, but the black belt still got punched by Cejudo. And so if Cheeto hits him right, like he could.
Of course. It's always a fight.
Yeah, it's always a fight.
I'd bet on Merab.
What would you put the odds at?
For Merab versus Cheeto?
Yeah.
Minus 250.
250? Okay, and Sean O'Malley?
Minus 3.
Okay, so you agree with me that Cheeto's that a harder fight.
Yeah, yeah.
And what do you put the odds at O'Malley versus Cheeto?
I think O'Malley wins. He's probably like a minus 125.
So it is a little like rock, paper, scissors for you.
Yes.
Okay. I don't want Merab to be champion, though. I like him, but it feels like a little like I just don't like that style, and I like that there's like these snipers.
Same.
But he's funny and he tries. So I'm.
Oh yeah, I do like Merab. I don't mean to like shit on Merab at all. Like, Cejudo's a hero. I love Cejudo.
Yeah.
I love Sean O'Malley. I love Cheeto Vera. It just sucks that he's in this like division where like I love all of these guys so much. Sorry, Merab.
Yeah, it's a fun division.
He's probably the next guy I like. Like, I don't know. Like, it's not bad.
Exactly. But fun division. The next fight was good, too. Ian Garry versus Jeff Neal. I thought that was, like, on paper. On paper is a good fight, though. I mean, okay, I was excited to watch it.
Yes. I thought Ian Garry ran away the whole fight.
You felt that way?
Yeah, especially third rounds, like just a lot of running. Jeff Neal's always trying to like bring the fight. And the way I saw it, it was the only definitive round for me was Ian Garry third round. The first round, I think Jeff Neal won by a slight margin. And then the second round, I'm like, oh, I don't know. I think Ian, but they could give it to Jeff. So when I heard the split decision, I was like, okay, that makes sense to me. But the announcers were like, there's no way this is anything other than a 30-27 Ian Garry. There's just like so strong with that. And then so when there was one judge, it was 29-28. I'm like, yeah, I agree that could be it. To me, it was 29-28, probably like maybe, yeah, I don't know. It was close to me.
Yeah, it was interesting because I was rooting for Jeff Neal, so I didn't want to be biased. And then the third round is when I really noticed Ian Garry like just circling a lot.
Yeah.
And I wasn't really paying attention to the commentary, so part of me was like, is he running or is he not running? And then I kind of just lost interest, so I didn't care, like almost where it felt just like there was some like really slick shots thrown sometimes from Garry.
Absolutely.
But it felt like a hard sparring match because whenever they were in the clinch, like I didn't see anything like people trying to elbow or fight or knee. It was more like
avoidance.
Yeah, like they were a little defensive.
I mean, that's a game you can play. Yeah, they don't have to play that game. And I get it. I just think the commentating when it was a split and they announced 29-28 for Jeff Neal, the commentators were like, how is this anything other than 30-27? This is crazy.
I think they're trying to
I think they literally said that. And like, I'm like, that's bonkers.
They're just trying to hype up Garry. I think Jeff Neal was a little foolish, though. Like, I think he fought with bad fight IQ. Like, if he has any chance.
I think he really tried to bring the fight to Ian, but Ian just did a lot of avoidance.
Really?
Because
I feel like in the clinch,
and then the other thing that even backed me up was the verdict scorecard. The verdict scorecard, which everyone puts in how they think the rounds go. Jeff Neal won 29-28.
Really? Yep. Interesting. Yeah, I felt like it was like a draw, whatever. Did you see the part where like Ian Garry and like Jeff Neal like gave each other a pound like in the middle of the fight, like dapped him up? And then Neal's coach was like, stop dapping him up.
I didn't even notice.
I thought that was interesting because I like that sometimes with like camaraderie. Like I love Wonder Boy Thompson, you know, like how he's like doing stuff and like the friendliness.
Yeah.
But I agreed with his coach and I liked what his coach said because he was like focused because Garry wins that type of sparring match.
Mm.
You know what I mean? With like some honor. And I feel like Neil's opportunity to win that fight is making it dirty and fucking use your strength and your experience, you know, and like your age.
I get that completely. Yes.
So I was happy his coach said that. And I don't feel like he really listened to his coach because then he kept doing it a few times. And he was letting Garry run. At some point, you should fucking try to attack. You know what I mean? You got to go all out, even though it puts you at risk. He did get kneed in the face a few times. Neal's great, but I like that part. I thought it was interesting about the mental side of things and what his coach said.
Yeah, I get it. Not really an Ian Garry fan at all. And maybe I was rooting for Jeff, but I think the rest of the verdict voters also thought that Jeff might have won there too. It was close. And I think if this guy is this undefeated phenom, maybe it shouldn't have been close. I don't know.
I don't think it's
a phenom. Maybe we expect too much from him. I don't know.
I thought Garry won though. But I thought it was like a slight favorite.
Yeah, I'm not saying Jeff's robbed by any instance either. Like,
yeah.
I just think it was a close fight. And I'm like, to me, it goes either way. And nothing was like that definitive either. Where like, oh, this guy got fucked up. He shouldn't have won. Like, I don't know. Both looked the same shit.
I felt like Garry's knees and strikes were cleaner.
He looked
than Neal's strikes.
Yeah, like way more like technical and savvy for sure.
And even on the replays, it just felt like he made more solid contact.
I think Jeff Neal putting Ian against the cage and in the clinch was definitely way better than Ian.
But he didn't throw strikes even on like the breakup of the cage. I felt like
he should have thrown more. He did some, but he should have thrown more, sure.
It felt like that was his place where he could have imposed his will a little bit. But all right, whatever.
Yeah.
The next fight, the guy I wanted to win did win though. So I was happy.
That's great. And I think I bet on Robert Whittaker. So it was like there was no like confusion there. but I wanted Paulo Costa to win.
Why'd you want Paulo to win? Just because he's like a
he
goon?
Needs it more.
He needs it more? Okay.
Okay, MMA is better with Paulo Costa in it, right? He's hilarious.
Yeah, he's funny. Yeah.
And he's a great fighter. Like, all of his fights are really entertaining to watch, right?
And he's like a fucking, built like a Greek god. He's like
all of his tweets,
huge.
All of his videos, all of his press conferences, and all of his fights. You need a guy like that around. And he's so unique.
He's still going to be around, though. He's still going to be unique. Around.
If he loses too much, he's not going to be around.
No, it won't matter. There's been fighters that
okay, where you put him in the rankings now? That's my question. Is like, after losing this one, after losing the last one, where do you put him?
He's like in the lower half of the top 10 because he's that big and scary and fucking good and talented. Like, it's not like anybody dominates him. The only person to dominate him was Izzy. Everybody else, like, is like fucking shit.
Okay. So you'd say maybe he's like 10 now.
I don't know. I'm looking up. I'm pulling it up right now because I'm curious where I was.
Because he's lost 3 out of the last 4. And the only one he won was against Luke Rockhold.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, so it's not looking great. His last win was 2019.
Yeah, I know. So he hasn't fought Sean Strickland. He fought Izzy and lost to Izzy. Fought Robert, lost to Robert. He fought Jack Cannonier. No, he never did. He fought Vittori and lost to Vittori. And then Paulo was ranked 6th. Then there's Brendan Allen, Imanov, Roman Dolidze, and Jack Hermanson. I feel like the only person, and then Khamzat. The only person I'm sure that Paulo's better than is definitely Jack Hermanson. And then everybody else is a close fight. I think he might even beat like Dolidze and Imanov and Allen, maybe. I don't know. But he's like in that range.
I want him to beat everyone. I want Paulo Costa champion right now, actually.
He's so why he'd be like Strickland. Yeah, he would just say,
yeah,
the
bro,
things.
Tell me that. I don't know. I think Paulo Costa is so funny. I want him in. So it's kind of rooting for him. I'm like, all right, Whittaker's so good. Like, he's going to be good. Even though this would have been 2 losses had he lost, like, I don't know. It I don't think it would have affected him as much. That's why I was just rooting for Paulo Costa. But
I normally think the way you think, but I don't think this affects Costa because I think people will still watch him because he just looks like a fighter and he's funny and he's good. And it doesn't matter that he's losing. He's losing to all the best people. He's losing to all the best people and he's not getting knocked out except by Izzy. That's it. Everybody else, like, it's a war. And I feel like this did a lot for Robert Whittaker's legacy because I think he's known as like the famous Robert Whittaker quote where everyone's like, yo, you keep fighting monsters. And like, I think it's because they look like monsters compared to him, like Yoel and Paulo.
Yeah.
And then he goes, mate, he's like, you forget, I'm also a monster, you know? Yeah. And like, I feel like this showed that. And DDP beat him. But like, I feel like this win just shows like Whittaker's, I think, resume is going to age really well because he takes on a lot of people.
Sure. Yeah.
Right. So he's not going to be Anderson Silva and he's not going to be Izzy. But he's going to be like that Cal Ripken type, you know, like that makes the Hall of Fame that like is like just great, but not necessarily like at his peak, maybe the best ever, you know?
Yeah, I mean, he will definitely be the best gatekeeper ever if he doesn't become champion.
Yeah,
oh, no, he was
that.
Interim champion, though, wasn't he?
He was an interim champ. He was a champ. And then, yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. It's just really Izzy.
I think he looked great, too, but he just doesn't have the power behind his strikes.
Yeah.
That might keep him from the top.
I was also surprised he didn't employ wrestling.
I think Paulo's just that fucking big and jacked. I think it's hard.
I guess.
And he takes him down. Paulo's good on the ground. Like, I didn't feel as... I'm just guessing, obviously. But I think it would be difficult. No? I think where he's like, let me use my speed.
Hey, I'm reading this on his Wikipedia right now. Paulo Costa. In 2022, he was questioned by the police in Brazil regarding an incident in which he was accused of striking a nurse with his elbow during a dispute over a COVID-19 vaccination card. He claimed was he was vaccinated, but didn't have it recorded on his vaccination card. And then he asked the nurse to sign his card. The nurse, however, claimed that Costa had not been vaccinated and refused to sign and that he attempted to flee without the shot being administered. I just think this is funny. So she grabbed him by the arm and he hit her with an elbow to the face, which caused her lips to become swollen. But no charges were filed. I paid her off. But
yeah, I paid her off.
What a
I don't know.
What a Costa move.
Costa is, but he never fights. And yes. I don't know. I think he's like a good villain a little bit.
100%. He's so good.
To root for and also lose. So it doesn't matter. He like I don't think it affected his career at all. Yeah. I think it affected Whitaker's because this is like another one in like the highlight reel where he looks like the smaller man.
Mm-hmm.
And then that wheel kick to his face and he did and he just stumbled but stood
yeah, that
there.
Was crazy. Yeah.
That's like that'll go on his like Hall of Fame highlight reel that he could just fucking eat that. Like and all the shit with Romero yeah. And
so for me, I don't know if you felt this, but for me, that kick stole the round and I gave that round to Costa.
See, I didn't feel that way at all. I thought the announcers were wrong for saying that.
Oh, I didn't even hear the announcing. I don't even think I had the announcing on at that point. I saw that and I was like, oh, he almost got him knocked out. Like he was wobbling. I was like, oof, I don't know. An almost knockout, I think, like puts the edge there.
I felt like Whitaker did more than enough that round, and especially those leg kicks where it looked like it was fucking puffy and then Paulo Costa was changing his stance a little bit.
I don't know. To me, that's a near finish. Like had that gone on a little bit longer, there's a knockdown.
Yeah, it's a worthy discussion.
Yeah, but like still doesn't matter. Whitaker won the next two rounds and it's still a unanimous decision.
Yeah, I think it like almost, I want to hear Whitaker's like post fight, but I feel like he went back to those Yoel Romero fights where like this is like
war.
A war.
Yeah.
Like when he fought Vettori, like he owned him a little bit, you know, like
yeah.
He knows he's better than a lot of the other people. But then like with Costin, he hit him, like it just went like instinct. I feel like he's like, all right, I got to do this. I fucking love Whitaker. Yeah, I don't know. I was happy with that fight. It made me feel good. Who would you like to see Paulo Costa fight next?
Oh, man. For press conference purposes, for talking, Chimaev.
Yeah, I think that's a good fight.
But if I'm looking at, like, the rankings, Jared Cannonier.
I don't think they are going to give Chimaev Costa, but they have beef in the past, and that would be a fun fight. And it would be good to see.
Yeah.
Comes out against an illegitimate fucking middleweight. And actually, I think Costa's closer to fucking light heavy. He looks fucking massive. It would be good to see Khamzat handle that. That would be a fun fight to see.
Yep. You?
And who would you like to see Whitaker fight?
Whitaker. That's a good question. Strickland, I guess.
Yeah, I think it's like the only one. I don't want it to happen because I like both of them, but I feel like that is a healthy, good fight.
Yeah.
They both lost to Duplessis. They can fight to see who gets to fight him, you know?
I guess, yeah.
I think that makes sense.
Oh, I also wouldn't mind Cannonier versus him either.
Against Robert?
Yeah.
Whitaker beat Cannonier already.
Oh, he did.
And he broke his arm. Yeah.
That's right.
Whitaker, yeah.
Dang.
That's why I want him to beat Duplessis too, because then he would beat literally everybody besides Izzy, but Duplessis showed up. I don't know. Middleweight's fun. I'd like to see Strickland Whitaker would be a good fight.
Yeah, it would.
Right? Like, just they both have choose to strike, but both could be on the ground. Like, I don't know. I don't know how that plays out. Like, they're both, it would be such a close fight, I think. Yeah, I'm about it. All right. Let's talk main event.
Volk and Topuria. I was bummed Volk lost. He won the first round. In my eyes, in all three judges' eyes, he won the first round. And then to get KO'd in the second just sucks. Ilya's power is just. It sucks when you see these guys have power at the lighter divisions that don't normally have power.
So I think the statistic is out of like all title fights for fighters that are 35 and above and weight class 170 below, I think it's like they're 2-35. And I think the two wins were Tyrone Woodley over like Darren Till and like one other, and that's it.
Yeah.
So statistically, it was certain Volk was going to lose. And like that's how I would have bet. But I was really hoping like you.
That I know, but he's not like win. A statistic. He's an anomaly. He's different.
But 1-35, like that's the thing. There's anomaly. Like all these people were champions that fought. They weren't regular people. And it's like they're 35 and losing, you know, like they were champions. So it just felt like it was inevitable.
I just think he was one of the best champions UFC's ever had.
No, sure. But I don't know. I felt like this was going to happen, plus with like the Islam thing. And even though Volk won the first round technically, to me, he was fighting a little scared. He just kept throwing these kicks. You know what I mean? And it felt more like point fighting than like, I'm trying to hurt you. You know what I mean? Like he was like finding his footing.
I think he was aware of the power.
like, and but the way Volk would hit other people, I remember once we were talking about Volk versus Max, and it might have been like the first Volk Max or whatever. And I was like, yo, I feel like strength is gonna what's win it for Volk. And he fucking like manhandled, like, you know, he just was a fucking strong person. And against Ilya, he didn't look like that.
Yeah, I think you're looking at two very different fighters between Ilya and Max, though.
I just, yeah, but he did it with Islam. He was strong as fuck with Islam. You know what I mean? And he went at Islam.
The first fight, yeah.
Yeah. And then this fight against Ilya, it felt like he was a little timid.
Yeah, it is crazy to see Volk lose this many times now in a row. Was this three? He had only lost once ever and none in the UFC. And now having three in a row, like, it's, that's rough.
Yeah. And he's getting older. This is like the NFL with, like, they say running backs, you know, like, once you have 2,000 carries, you drop off. They don't sign you anymore. And
it sucks because had he won that decision with Islam?
Yes.
The trajectory, do you think he's losing to Ilya if he had to fight Ilya after? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it changes the trajectory.
Changes everything. Isn't that crazy?
Maybe, maybe not. But what it does change is he goes from, he would just have like a much better legacy in terms of like being one of the goats. You know what I mean? To go up and win that title against a fighter like Islam, who's like Khabib's fucking protege, is...
Well, I honestly think in this instance, the way I'm... If they give him the nod in the first fight, second fight doesn't happen on a short notice, so who knows how the second fight turns out. Like, I think that would have changed the trajectory. Also, Volk says that he was like drinking a lot and wasn't really in the camp. Whether that's true or not, I guess. But if he wins that fight versus Islam, I'm not even sure if he's even defending the featherweight belt anymore. Maybe he is, but he doesn't have the second fight. Maybe he fights a lot less timid. All I'm saying is the judges could have changed the whole trajectory of this man's career.
Yeah. And maybe
that
Ilya
fucking sucks.
And Ilya even looks at him differently, maybe, you know, where Ilya's like, fuck, I got to be a little bit more.
You know, Ilya doesn't want to give him the title fight.
Yeah, I wanted to talk to you about that.
Okay.
Because we put the vote out and we put it on the Instagram, and 63% of people believed that Volk should get a rematch. And then like it was like 37 said no.
I want to hear the excuse for why no.
See, I'm in, and I saw that you
make
voted
one.
Yes.
Play devil's advocate, if even if you don't believe it, but I don't see there's an outlet.
Okay, we're reversed, because normally I think I would be the one that's like, give him a rematch, maybe, and you're like, no, fresh blood. Like, to me, Volk got fucked up, so he shouldn't get the next shot. Like, I don't think he deserves a rematch.
He won the first fight, got caught once. Let's look at the top people. Max, Volk should get it before Max. Yair, Volk should get it before Yair. Brian Ortega, Volk should get it before. And then we're going even further. Evloev, Arnold Allen, Josh Emmett, no. Calvin Gattar, Giga Chikadze, Bryce Mitchell. None of these guys should get it before Volk. He's the greatest champion maybe in that division ever.
If Max beats Gaethje, he deserves a title shot.
Okay, I'll give you that. Maybe. Maybe.
No, if he beats Gaethje, who's fucking a monster. Like,
I think you're thinking
Max
like too much recency right here. Volk beat Max three times.
Yeah, but Volk lost three times.
Yeah, but I'm saying like he beat this guy in the division three times and he's your next best guy. You're like, it's one thing to like, I don't know how you don't rematch.
You make a good point. Look, you're swaying me in that sense, but I don't think it's even what's best for Volk right now. I think Volk was like a little bit in that Izzy mindset. He's got to take a little bit of a break, and you know what I mean?
Volk wants the rematch.
I know, but I don't know if it's what's best for him.
Oh, well, that's a different question completely. I just think that's a guy that, like, he's not like the rest. He's not like, oh, does Sean Strickland get a rematch? No, he's champion one time.
I feel like Max should get the attempt if he beats Gaethje, because that's a fucking huge win, and that would be the biggest win amongst anybody in featherweight right now.
I could see that. Imagine you're a fighter. Let's say you're the guy. You beat me three times in a row, and I get the shot before you.
I know, but it's also, you also have to look at it as like, a lot of people thought Max won the first one, and the second one was fucking, no, I'm sorry. Most people assume Max lost the first one. The second one, a lot of people believe Max won. The third one, he definitely lost.
Yeah.
So it was close, trilogy, I get it. I know, if Max wins, then it becomes what, a potential Volk versus Max, and that's like, we don't want that. So
correct.
It's annoying. It's like a weird fucking cluster.
No, I mean, if Max wins in the lightweight division, he's a lightweight contender.
I know, but it still should go. He should still be able to move where he wants, because Max is also a special case. Like, I don't know.
He is special. I'll give you that, but I would throw him in the rankings for.
I don't know if Volk beats Ilya. I would love him to. It would be such a great story. I always want to root for the older.
I still think Volk could beat Ilya.
Really?
I do. Yeah. He could win a decision just like how that first round went. He's kind of has to. Okay.
That's so safe, though. I don't think he would win a fight. 100%
has to be safe, and he has to play a perfect game. But I think if anyone could, it's him.
See, I don't think that's like.
Do you think anyone can play that perfect game?
I think when you have somebody that is like a championship mindset like Ilya, where it's like, I'm going to take you out eventually, and they have that much confidence, and now they have the confidence that they already did it once. I don't think if Volk wins that fight, it's because he looks like Ian Garry avoiding the fight.
Okay, so do you think Chito Vera is going to be champion because he's the same?
I know, but Chito will attack Sean O'Malley. And what I'm saying is, Chito doesn't point. Like, Chito is trying to knock you the fuck out. Where
so is Volk, Ilya.
Yeah, exactly. So I think Ilya's gonna win. Like, I think I'm rooting. I think Ilya takes out Volk again easily because
you think Chito beats his contenders as well?
I think Sean O'Malley is exactly like Chito too, where he's like a sniper, so it's like a close fight. Like, they're both really gonna try to take each other out.
Okay.
That's dangerous. Marab's not like that.
Okay. I don't see Chito beating Sean. Yeah, I don't see Chito beating Sean.
I think it's a close fight. I think he could do it again. And I think once you beat somebody once, you have that confidence, you could do it again.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah, that could happen.
That adds to some legacy. And Chito, they're both, it's a really good fight. I don't care who wins because I like them both.
I think you're crazy. I think the amount of times Volk defended that title is nuts.
No, Volk is great. He just got fucked up. You're right. Look, I changed my opinion once I saw what everybody else was saying. Like, I can admit when I think I'm wrong. If there was another contender, like Josh Emmett, but Ilya already beat Josh Emmett.
Right.
Even though it's been doing good lately. Ortega hasn't beaten anybody at all.
He hasn't even fought.
Has Yair fought since he lost to Volk?
Nope.
Yeah, so then he doesn't deserve it. If he had won already, then I'd be like, give it to Yair. He had a good fight.
Evloev is not going to sell the fight. Arnold Allen, he's not on the best track yet either. They need more wins.
Max beat Arnold Allen too.
Yeah.
So Max beat a lot of these people. Yeah. All right, give it to Volk. But if Max beats Gaethje, then he deserves the next one.
I just don't see how they let him leave lightweight if he beats Gaethje. Gaethje's what, number two?
I don't think he beats Gaethje. I'm so sad for Max.
Yeah, Gaethje's ranked number two. There's no way you let him leave lightweight, especially when Makhachev is starving for contenders, unless Tsarukyan wins.
I think Gaethje's going to do to Max what he did to Tony and fucking broke him. I feel like Gaethje does that. I'm nervous.
Yeah, I have a feeling that's going to happen too.
How do you think Max would do against Ilya, though, if they were to fight?
I think Max can beat him.
I think Max has a better chance of beating Ilya then. But people are saying Ilya might just take him down and grapple. I don't know if Ilya would.
A lot of people have said they can do that with Max. Max is pretty fucking good.
Yeah.
And I think, like, he has a great chin. He's still young enough. Like, people forget, like, Volk is old. Max is still young.
Yeah. Volk and Max is taller. It might be harder to catch his chin. And I think Max is fighting smarter and smarter as he grows up.
Yeah, Max is what, 32?
Yeah, his IQ is getting better and better. He doesn't spar every day, so maybe he does keep his chin longer than others. I think it would just be such a fun fight. I would love to see it. Yeah, he's 32.
Yep.
I'd love to see that fight. And he's like coming into his body, he's getting stronger. I feel like him and Ilya would be an incredible fight. I kind of want to see it. I don't know if I would love if Volk beat Ilya, though. I always want to root for the old fucking dude.
Yeah, I was bummed Volk didn't win. I thought Volk was going to win. Yeah.
I just don't think he will beat Ilya. I feel like Ilya is like a good matchup for. I don't think Ilya fears the one-punch knockout. And I think that's the same way he'd beat Holloway. You need somebody that he'd be a little nervous from, like, that's bringing the power to him a little. But if you're point fighting him, eventually he'll catch you.
Yeah, I think for most guys, yes.
Be right. Folks, not most guys. Yeah, good card. We got some good cards coming up.
It was a great card. I really liked it. I'm looking forward to these next cards. I think we have a fight night next, another fight night, and then we have 299.
How's everything else been going with you?
Good, man. Good. I don't think I told you this. I don't even know. I got hit in the balls 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
Training. And that night my balls turned black.
What?
Black.
What'd you do? Like, what happened?
Dude, so it was in jiu-jitsu. Someone hit like a knee cut on me. And they were like, oh, sorry, dude. Like, and I was like, oh, like, I don't think you hit me. Like, I'm fine. Like, I think you probably just hit like my thigh or my belly or something. Cause I didn't really feel it. And then that night when my balls were black and then starting to hurt, I was like, oh shit, I guess he did. And adrenaline just masked it. Like, how did I not feel that? I was like completely perplexed by this. I was like, what? I've been hit by the balls and floored and nothing. And now they're black. Like, so my first thoughts were like, holy shit, am I going to pee blood? Holy shit, am I going to lose my balls? Holy
shit. Yeah, exactly. I'd be terrified.
This whole like, oh fuck. And so I was like, all right, I peed. Completely normal. I'm like, all right, that was such a huge relief for me.
Wow. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, like huge relief. I'm like, okay, so hardware's there.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. But like, I don't know. And then I talked to someone I know who used to, I don't even know what you'd call this profession, but used to give vasectomies. What do you call that doctor? I forget.
Urologist? Do they do
urologist? Okay, there you go. So I talked to a urologist who I know. And he's like, oh, you've got nothing to worry. This is normal. And I was like, oh my God, thank God. Normal though, they're black. He's like, yeah, it's just like a black eye. He's like, and
oh, okay.
He's like, it's different. When you get hit direct, you don't bruise, but it's debilitating. When you have like a side hit or a side compression of your balls, that's when it doesn't feel that bad and you end up with black and blues. And I was like, oh, really? Because that's what happened. I didn't even tell him the scenario in which I got hurt. When he described that, I was like, oh, that's exactly what happened. That's crazy. He's like, yeah, it's going to be black for probably like a week. It'll turn purple, like, you know, like a black eye would. And then like maybe at the end, it'll turn like kind of like yellowish or something like that. He's like, you'll be fine completely. And I was like, oh, that's such a relief to hear. But it felt like I had a dull ache in my balls for the better part of a week.
Ooh.
Like even someone sitting on my lap would be like, no. Like I'm not doing shit here. So I did take a week off of training. I went back after a week and I probably shouldn't have, but it was like the best open mat of all time. We had like Keenan Cornelius. We had like two UFC fighters. Like we just had like the best people come out for open mat. And I was like, I don't care.
That's sick. Yeah.
I'll just fucking cut my balls if I roll. I don't give a fuck. But I'm better now.
There's yeah, good the, for
a
you.
Light remnant from 2 weeks ago.
No pain, no gain.
Fuck, dude. It was crazy though. But yeah, so if your balls turn black, don't think the end of the world.
Okay. I guess since we're talking about health stuff, I also found out I have like the ringworm.
Common.
And what do I do about it? Because I saw there was like actually put athlete's foot. It's just like a little dime size thing. It's like cute,
yeah, that's whatever. All ringworm like is athlete's foot, but not on your foot.
Yes, it's like on my thigh.
It sounds awful. Most people think it's like some type of thing you catch, or I guess it is a kind of thing you catch, but it's just, it's almost like an infected wound you need to get rid of. That's all it really is.
See,
it's common. If you wrestle, you've had ringworm.
Okay.
If you wrestled in high school, you got ringworm. There's no way I think you went all 4 years wrestling in high school and didn't get ringworm.
Okay.
Yeah. And in jiu-jitsu, that's just a matter of time too. 5 years, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. I've been training. Yeah. I got it
a dozen times.
I thought it was an ingrown hair. So I was like, that's annoying, but whatever. And then I was like,
fuck. Yeah. But then once it starts getting fleshy, then you know.
Yeah. And I was like, this can't be ringworm. And then it just looks like a ring. And so I'm like, oh, it's obviously like ringworm.
It's not. Yep. Yep.
So what do you think I should do with it? What were you saying?
They have plenty of topical things like Lamisil and other athlete's foot. That stuff never worked for me. I just bleached. And I think that's like kind of what hardcore wrestlers will do. Like you'll bleach it so that you can, you know, do the tournament you're in or whatever.
All right, so I'm going to bleach it.
Bleach is instant, but it'll burn and it'll scar you. Well, not always, actually. I've done it and it hasn't scarred, but I would expect the scar just in case.
All right, whatever. It's cool. This will be like my little Fight Club thing. It'll pay, yeah. No pain, no gain.
It will burn, but I don't know. For me, the burn is like cleansing. I'm like, yeah, kill that shit. Done.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like to me, it's like almost like, you know, when you do peroxide or like, well, you're not supposed to do peroxide on a cut or whatever anymore, but whatever. It just feels cleansing when you feel like that burn. Like, all right, it's dead. Got it.
Bleach will kill ringworm, but it's not a good idea to apply bleach to the skin because it could cause chemical burns. That's what they did in Fight Club. It's a chemical burn.
There you go.
Right?
Yep.
So then can you theoretically...
Yeah, like, oh, it's not a good idea because it's going to hurt you. It's going to burn. Like, who gives a shit about hurt? I just want it gone.
I know. I want it gone. It fucking sucks.
Yeah. Just douse it.
All right. I'm going to do that tomorrow.
Yeah.
Definitely gonna do that tomorrow. Yeah, we're giving the important information to the people.
That's it. They say ringworm has less chance the quicker you shower after you train or whatever, but like you just never know. There's also other things too where you're like you try to use like certain, so people believe like tea tree oil helps combat it. So if you get like soaps with that, and jujitsu people kind of market that too. There's also like, I mean, how you prevent like athlete's foot and jock itch are both ringworm. It's just in different places. Now, ringworm around your balls, that sucks.
That would be the worst.
Yeah, probably don't want to bleach there either. You're like, that would suck. Right? So one of the ways you combat that is after you take a shower, you always put your socks on first, because if you do have athlete's foot and then your foot rubs on your underwear, now maybe you're going to get jock itch.
Interesting.
So you always put your socks on before your underwear.
Okay.
These are the tips and tricks.
Yeah, that's good. We need to know that. There's so much we need to learn to discuss. I was talking with a friend and they were saying how about they're interested in doing MMA or training anything like martial arts, like boxing, like, you know, and how they went to church to boxing and they saw it and it was like inspiring, but they're not the typical person that would do this. But what they were saying is because they go to AA, right, for like recovery and like sobriety. And they were saying that it's big in the sobriety community that one of like the last steps, right? Like, you know, because you do meditation, you do mental stuff, you do emotional training, like other things that are triggers that get you to like do drugs or whatever, have an addictive personality.
Mm-hmm.
But inevitably, you'll still get addicted on the new thing. And like, I think one of the things a lot of people pursue towards the end, like almost like the last step, is MMA and training. And I was like, that's amazing. I was like, I didn't know that. So I want to interview like one of his friends who's a black belt who like, that's what inspired him, right? Because we get addicted to the mats and in some ways it's exactly the same, right? People that are getting sober often are always talking about sobriety and people that do jujitsu are always talking about jujitsu, you know? Like,
yeah,
dude, even when I got the ringworm, like I went to the pharmacist and it was like a decently attractive person. And I was like, I have ringworm. And then I go, oh, I do jujitsu and wrestle. So I wanted to think I'm just gross. I wanted to think like I'm an athlete. And I, you know, like, but whatever. We're always throwing it out. You know, addicts are always like thinking about their own shit too, you know? And
I mean, when I first got cauliflower ear in California, because I'd gotten it in New York when I trained. And when I got it in California, I needed to get needles to drain my ears. And the rules in New York are different for needles. You can get needles anywhere. You can just order them online. In California, though, you can't get them. You need a prescription. Like, so when I went to the pharmacy and I was like, you guys don't have needles like I can buy? They thought I was a drug addict. I'm like, no, they're for my ears. And they're like, what do you use needles for your ears? And I'm like cauliflower ear. Yeah, they didn't know what cauliflower ear was. I'm like, what the fuck, man? Like, I just... Can you do it? Like, I don't know.
But yeah, I don't know, man. We were just talking and he was like thinking about doing it. And I was like, please do it. And I just think, yeah, it is a good thing for people to get addicted to. And it was just like something new about the community. Like I told him like the cool thing is like you have criminals on the mats. You have cops on the mats. You know, you have like young people on the mats. You have old people. Like it's cool that it is like a little bit of everybody.
Yep.
But I didn't know that it was becoming a thing in the sobriety community. And I would love if that does become a thing, because I feel like that'll spread and that's such a good thing.
That is cool. I did not know that either, but it's not surprising. Yeah.
If it's not a thing, and this is just maybe a thing in his place in the city or something, like it should be a thing in all the sobriety places, because I think it would be beneficial. You know, like I think it should be one of those things that spreads because you feel good for your health and who you are emotionally. Like sometimes I'm not emotionally strong. Like I'll think back and like, oh, I should have done this at 26. I should have done this at like fucking my past. You know, like there's a lot of things I'm like, if I just fucking did that, that would have been better. But the one thing that I'm like, I don't want to change is I just feel stronger mentally now. And part of that is living 15 years more than I was at 25.
Yeah.
But I think a big part of that is also like 10 years of training shit, you know, and like being in that world and that community and around other men and, you know, like finding shit about yourself. Like how tough are you and how much can you hang? So I don't know. I feel like
more tested than the next guy for sure.
Right. And it sounds cheesy, but like, that's what people say in sobriety places too. Like, yo, we tested ourselves. Shit was hard. Like veterans, right? Like they go through shit. And even the ones that don't see combat, because most don't even see combat. Some of them just are around that seeing what other people are doing. And I think reflecting on fucking your position in the world and being away from home and heartbreak, you know, like lots of things could be fucking with you that are hard, you know, in some capacity, but the mat is a good reflection of that. So it kind of brought me back a little bit to the philosophy thing. Cause I was like, dude, if you do this, we're going to become even better friends because we'll just talk about this all the time. And it'd be awesome.
100%. Yeah. I think one of the things I was looking forward to this year is visiting our buddy for a surprise party. That's not going to happen anymore because
we
get a chance to roll, but we have to get it going at least some point this year for sure.
Yeah. No, we'll find some time. Definitely. So
I already have my money out for a flight, so I just have to basically pick a date to go out.
I'm getting married at the end of this year, so I was thinking about like I'm not the bachelor party type, but I was thinking like, I don't know, it'd be nice to
you just force everyone to roll.
Yeah, like before I get married, I want to tap everybody out and really go. I think like going camping somewhere and rolling would be fun. Getting high, doing mushrooms, you know? I don't know.
So whatever it is, we're going to have something happen this year for sure.
Yeah, we have to. Because that's what we do. Like,
we do.
Yeah. Because then we could get all these other people in too, right? And be like, yo, this is good. You should be doing this with us.
Even if they don't decide to do it. It's just like, I don't know, if they're around our age, let's just say mid to late 30s or 40s, like chances are they haven't been tested since they're 25 at the latest. Like it's too long.
I just really want to roll with Dane. Dane benches like 350. He's like a freak bencher.
Yeah, he also probably deadlifts like 170. Don't think that's going to be, he's going to literally look to use his arms for everything.
No, yeah, I'm not worried that I'm going to lose. Like I want to tap him out on like 27 seconds. Like I want it to be like
I just wrap his legs and smother him.
Oh, I know. I wanted to do that. Yeah, this will be a good year. I've been slacking this January and beginning of February because every time I've been rolling, I'm glad we're talking about some of the bad stuff because we always talk about the positive. So like your balls being black and blue and the ringworm and like because I told him like you're gonna get hurt, but you get hurt and you feel accomplished though in some way, because we don't feel that way if like, you know, like if you're doing artsy type work or like, you know, sitting by a desk, like not to diminish those jobs, but I think there's a part of us like dogs, you need to run at the park, like you need to do something active sometimes.
So I was reading a study, I read so many studies, but it was something to do with the pressure and our capillaries, arteries, veins, that they're not, you know, this is cardiac muscle. It's not skeletal muscle. So it doesn't respond the same way, right? Like in terms of, you know, building elasticity or strength or however you want to classify it, but it responded really well to pressure. And then like, not only did they respond well to certain amounts of pressure, it was a BFR study, blood flow restriction. So pressure, especially for skeletal muscle, but they also found it to be for cardiac muscle too, that pressure in certain training will make the muscle or the area more hypoxic, fatigue a little faster, but also gain a little bit in terms of hypotrophy. So you'll basically make gains a little quicker by having pressure. And then there's also studies on pressure as a means to combat depression. And all I kept thinking about was like, oh, in jiu-jitsu, we're getting both of these things.
Interesting.
And then like, maybe that's part of our fulfillment is we're getting pressure that we're not getting if we're just going to the gym or just living a normal life.
Okay. Can I add on to that? I think it could also be, especially if you're like single. Because one of the things I told him, I was like, there's so many people that are lonely that have no physical contact. And so why we like massages, right? So the idea is maybe like that type of pressure. Like,
but like comfort. A tight restriction. They were saying like it should occlude, I forget what it was, at least 30% like blood flow.
Okay.
I'm like, oh, that's actually pretty tight. Like granted, like a blood pressure thing will eventually get to 100 and then it releases to, you know, find your blood pressure. But like you're still talking like that's kind of significant. That's not just like a handshake. It's a little more.
No, it's like a massage, no? Wouldn't that be like a massage, like a heavy massage?
But they did studies up to like 80%, up to 100% on BFR. And they still have, they're always trying to look for what is the minimum required dosage, right? Because obviously like it's effective at 100. Okay, but is it realistic to do 100? For us it is because that's what we do. So they were finding it up, getting up to like, I think 30%. And like, oh, you're still seeing benefits at 30%. So that's what would be the prescription in terms of like working out or whatever it is. But like for us, the takeaway is, oh, hey, pressure is good. We need it. Humans are meant to make gains from it. It should be a regular part of our lives.
Yeah. And this last month, I've been a little bit more depressed because I've been feeling older because my back won't hurt, but then I'll train. And then after training, my back hurts for like a day and a half, like 2 days where I feel like an old man. And so it stopped feeling like, oh, like I'm working out, like, you know, like strong, like I was saying, like I've been feeling like old. And so I was like, okay.
You're not weak for hurting your back. Back pain is a normal thing. 88% of all humans will experience back pain in their life.
Yeah. But
it's going to happen.
I don't want to continue to have back pain. So this last month and a half, I've only been training once a week, maybe twice, once in a while. And so I feel like maybe that's also why I've been feeling a little bit more depressed because I'm not training as much. But it's also January, February, and there's no sun, you know?
Yes.
It's, like, well, it's also the worst time of year. Like, just miss the holidays. So, like, I don't know. It's like all of these things. But I got to get back on the mat ASAP. Yep. What would you do, though, if, like, your back doesn't hurt, but after you train, your back does hurt? Like, was I right for slowing it down? Should you just take off 2 weeks or is it
just
power it through?
I wouldn't take off. No, I'd just be selective with who I rolled with maybe.
Yeah, I think
I just roll people my size now or smaller. I don't know. Like I had two disc herniations and I still showed up rolling and I didn't say no to anyone actually. But there were definitely times where there were certain positions that my back, I can't even remember what the positions were, but as soon as I got into the position, I'd have to tap. And they knew. They were like, oh, okay, like, yeah, I can't be in this position. It kills me.
See, I'm not even in that position that you were in.
Yeah, and I was mine still rolling.
Mine just hurts sometimes.
Probably not anything any doctor would say, like, oh, you should do that. But I was like, all right, I've dealt with this pain for, I don't know, at the time, I think it was like 2 years. It's not going away. So if I don't learn to live with this, then like,
yeah,
I'm never going to do anything then. So like, in my head, I'm like, I might as well just die. Like, I'm not doing that. I literally just kept training. And then lo and behold, out of pain.
Yeah. Dr. Fierro was like, just do it. Just whatever. We're going to die anyway. Right.
Yeah, do you feel like a pussy now? Yeah. Right. Wouldn't it be better to be hurt and then also not feel like a pussy then? Okay, so just do that.
Exactly. It all goes back to you. Martial arts, you will live longer, but you'll live in pain. I know. I gotta kick it back to 3 times a week at least. And yeah,
man, my one so much better.
My one exercise that's been lame though, because somebody was like, oh, you should do this because it helped your back, but I've kind of gotten into it, is I've been doing planks.
Okay.
And because they said like you strengthen your core, so you strengthen everything, and so like it's fun.
That's a mixed signals thing, but okay, it won't hurt.
Whatever, it doesn't hurt. But it's been like fun because I'm like, all right, how long can I do this? Because in my head, planks, I was like, I should be able to just for like 3.5 minutes. Like this is easy. and then I was like, oh shit, a minute, and then I was like, oh, 1:15. I was like, oh, 1:30. Like it's a fun game, you know, where I'm like,
nice.
So I kind of like that game because it's like, all right, I'm not exercising. I'm not even doing push-ups. You know, it's like the least, it's the least like you could be lazy doing it, but you're still working out. So I was like, I like doing, I don't know. I feel like people should be doing it. It's a fun game.
I'll tell my kids, like, oh, try to kick me in the belly when I'm holding a plank.
Really?
They're just like, have them like kick, like, does that hurt you? And they're like, what? You know?
That's sweet. Yeah, man, good stuff. Yeah, this was a good conversation because it's gotta help me get back in, and I'm glad you told me the bleach trick.
Yeah, bleach, you'll get right back in, dude. And you'll feel good having done it outside of like, oh, I think that's going to scar with the way it looks. And then some of mine didn't scar. So
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess maybe it depends when you catch it or how bad it might be. I don't know.
I gotta do it before Amanda listens to this episode because she's gonna be like,
Oh, yeah, she's going to be like, don't do it. I had one on my arm that like you could still see, but I have a tattoo over that now, so you don't see it.
All right, I have to
But it
get a
wasn't even
tattoo.
bad. Like you wouldn't even notice it. It looks like almost like a sunspot, like it's barely even
Yeah.
noticeable.
Honestly, as infections come, I think this is kind of cute. It's like really small. It's like the size of a dime, you
Yeah.
know?
Now,
See what
granted, if I
happens.
had it on my forehead, I probably wouldn't bleach it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's true.
You know what I
On
mean? So you're like, you know,
the
like if it's on a part of your body, you're like, ah, who cares about this over here? It's like for
Yeah.
guys, I think it's just from like the neck down is probably like, yeah, who gives a shit?
Yeah, exactly.
But for
Yeah.
women, maybe like women who get like, I don't know, like maybe they feel differently if it's a different spot on their body, maybe they don't want to
Sure.
bleach it. Yeah.
Sure, that's a good point. Good perspective, Arturo.
That's all I try to do.
Yeah, I try to just add the color and jokes. All right,
Right.
man.
Thank you for listening, everyone, like always.
All right, take care.
Thanks for listening to the Philosophy of Fighting podcast. If you have any questions, suggestions, or if you would like to fight us, send us a DM on Instagram at philosophy_fighting.